Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When God created Adam, he created him from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and then he put him in the midst of the garden in the east. The Lord God put Adam in the midst of the garden to the east in order to work it and to keep it. Now that word keep means more than just hold on to. That word keep is the same word that is used for guard, protect, watch over. And after Eve was created from Adam's side, a foreign thing came into the garden. A serpent, a false prophet, someone who spoke contrary to God's word. Did God really say, the serpent said? And of course, he did really say. And Eve listened to the false prophet, and Adam, by a sin of omission, did not keep the garden. This is why Adam is held responsible. For by one man sin entered the world, St. Paul says, so also by the second Adam sin and death are overcome. He did not guard it. He did not keep it or watch over it. He did not protect it from false prophets, those who would undermine God's clear word. And that is why our Lord Jesus Christ, in the few verses preceding our gospel reading for this Sunday, says this: enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is difficult that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets, then, he says. Beware of those who would come to you in sheep's clothing, but who are inwardly ravenous wolves, those who would undermine the word of God in your midst. Who are these? Who are these that undermine God in our midst? The way is wide. Those who would undermine it are many. Perhaps we could say legion. There are then demonic forces behind what they would say and what they would have you believe. And here I am not talking just about social media again. And here I am not talking just about news again. Today I am going to talk about something perhaps that is a little more close to our hearts. Jesus said, are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? If your son or daughter went to law school and came out to be a lawyer, would you be surprised? If your son or daughter went to school to study to be a CPA, would you be surprised? That is the fruit that law school bears, that is the fruit that CPA school bears. Why then are we surprised when we send our children to schools that are decidedly not Christian? And we are surprised when they come back to us not Christian. This is not to paint a brush on everyone who teaches in those schools, for we know many who are wonderful, wonderful people. But the reality is that what is the curriculum is decidedly not Christian. Did God really say that I created the heavens and the earth in 6 days? Did God really say that I created man and woman, male and female, he created them? Did God really say? Now, I suppose that you could, in years past, get by with this. But the onslaught, not from our local leaders, or really many local teachers, but the onslaught from the state and from the federal government is huge. The sex curriculum alone makes me blush. Not to mention what our own students have borne witness in Bible class about what they are asked to do and to say. Are thorns gathered? Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? Are figs from thistles? Are Christians gathered from unchristian education? And I think that is being generous. More and more, it is not just unchristian, but anti-Christian. That the feeling that our students have in going into school is not only that they are a minority, but that they are hated because of it. That they stand firmly upon God's word. All of this is to say that none of this can happen any more automatically. You cannot just send your kids to school and expect that they will learn reading, writing, and arithmetic, and that is all. Despite the great warriors whom we have on the inside, and they are warriors, and they need your support. And so this means that you cannot simply send them. You must be involved at every stage. You must know what is being taught in each classroom. And you must be well prepared with the Word of God to contradict it. For that was the sin of Adam. Omission. He just let it happen. We are called by God, both in the Old Testament and in the New, to rear and raise our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That means, certainly, that others can teach them reading, writing, and arithmetic. But we cannot hand over that godly pursuit of teaching them God's holy word and immersing them in it daily to someone else. For our grapes gathered from thorn bushes, our figs from thistles. You must not only work in the garden, you must keep it. For as Jesus said, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. It is an often occurrence that I will get questions, or my brother pastors will get questions that say, what did I do wrong? I had my child baptized. I brought him to church every Sunday. And he was catechized. He was confirmed. It is not something that you did do. It is something that you did not do. It is a sin of omission, a sin of not taking captive every thought and action of our days and lives to Christ and to his word. Ask those what they would have done different. Those who have recent graduates from schools around our nation, ask them. I have heard them say, I would have done things differently. Seek them out. Come to Bible class to prepare yourselves to withstand in the day when the fiery darts come at you, so that you may be endowed with the armor of salvation, God's holy armor, so that you will be able to withstand and keep, stand guard, watch over and protect those whom God has put into your charge. In the end, the only thing that any of us can claim when all of our working days are done and all of our children are grown up, there is only one thing that we have left to hold on to, and that is the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ. If you have made mistakes in the past, particularly in keeping and guarding your children from the wily foe, cling to the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ. For his all-availing sacrifice is complete. It is finished. It is done. He has taken away your sins and removed them as far from you as the east is from the west. You are right with God. But you should also get right with those who were placed under your charge. Confess to them your failings, what you would have done different, what you wish you had said, or what action you wish you would have taken. And thereby, perhaps you will open their eyes and hearts, not to the knowledge of good and evil, but rather to the life eternal that Jesus Christ and his merits, and only his merits, can avail. And that you would call them back to their true home, the home that we are aiming for, not to avoid death, not to get a better job, the true place, our true goal, our true aim is heaven, to be with Jesus forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.